Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Monica, habemus papum.
Habemus papum.
Crazy. So we're recording this on Friday, a day after we got our Pope Leo the 14th.
So those of you who don't know, Katie and I are Chicago natives. So big deal for us Chicago girlies. I am living for all of the hilarious Chicago memes. If you know, you know.
I've been dying. I've been resharing them. I'm like,
I can't.
Pope Leo dressed up as Mike Ditka. I mean, come on.
Pope Leo, like, hot dog costume being like, they like it Chicago style now. I'm like, yes.
I saw one that said, wow, Chicago produced a Pope before it produced a quarterback that can throw. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. The Bears, man, we've been bad my whole life, practically.
Been bad since I started. That's not true, but yeah, it is a really exciting time. It's also kind of like crazy. Like, we know people who know him and you're like, oh, like, we don't know him, but
yeah, we don't know him. It is funny to me how many people ask me though, do you know him? I'm like, just because he's from Chicago, like, do you know how big Chicago is?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, but we do know people who know him and knew his family. And I just think,
went to school with him, like grade school with him.
Yeah. We are going to continue this episode similar to last week where we're going to talk about the papacy and everything. And so kind of segueing into this, kind of what we were just talking about with the social media, there's a pro and con to all of this, right? And one of the things I've loved is like, obviously these hilarious memes coming out and like cool content and like, love the fact that in real and instant time, we get to see, like, they're interviewing his siblings, and his siblings found out in real time with the rest of us. And
I know
our siblings were laughing, texting, like, could you imagine watching TV and being like, holy cow, like, that's our brother? They're like, whoa, oh God.
I mean, I know, because I watched a couple of interviews with his brother who lives in Chicago. He's got one who lives in Chicago, and I think he's got one who lives in Florida now But the one with Chicago, and he was like, yeah, he was like, I mean, I was actually just reading a book, and someone texted me, it was like, there's white smoke, you should probably turn your TV on. And he was like, oh, okay. Turns his TV on. And then, like, had to text him, like, when his brother comes out, or, you know, he had to text his niece and be like, this is real, right? Like, this is happening.
Hey, real quick.
You're seeing what I'm seeing on the screen, right?
And it's funny because they were like, have you talked to your brother? And he's like, well, I talked to him before he left. And he was like, I was trying to keep it lighthearted. I was joking. Like, did you pack your red socks? And I just thought, there's something so beautiful about that, because how real, like how authentic, like that would be something you or I would do with our brother who is becoming a priest. If he was ever in this situation, being like, did you pack your red socks? Like,
yeah, right.
You know, and making light of it. But what I realized was, and something I really want to say that hopefully really resonates with our listeners, because I've been seeing a lot of negative content already, which I find so interesting, because it's so literally sad. Been a hot second, that this Pope is a human being who has siblings. He's human. And we all need to remember that, like, he is not infallible. Okay. He is not perfect. We have to remember he's a human. And with that comes the complexity of being human. And so to give him grace and patience and love.
It's funny because I think I realized, I mean, this is duh, right? But I think I like realized more seriously for the first time now that we have a Chicago American Pope, just how really human the Pope is. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, I grew up in the JP2, or like when I was a little kid, JP2 was a big deal. And like, he seemed larger than life, right? And just so holy and so like, You just, and like, yes, we got pictures of him hiking, but it still was like almost ethereal, right?
Yeah.
Or fishing. And it was still a little bit, yeah, larger than life. And then you have Benedict, who was like so profound that like you could not imagine him like doing kind of normal human things. I don't know, because you know, that kind of a thing. And even Francis, I think. But now that you have this like Chicago native, right, who people are like, he's probably eaten more hot dogs than every Pope combined previously. And I'm like, dang, probably. Right?
Actually, yeah.
You're from Chicago, definitely. Or in this interview with the brother, he said, yeah, like right before the conclave, like I was trying to keep it light with him. So we made sure we did our daily Sudoku. Or not daily Sudoku, our Wordle.
Oh,
our daily
yeah.
Wordle.
Hilarious.
And I was like, wait, the Pope does Wordle.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it was just this like really profound moment of, and like a good reminder that this man is just a man,
mm-hmm.
right? And like, yes, we need to pray for his holiness. Hopefully he is a very holy man. Hopefully he's a very pastoral man, but he is a man who does Wordle. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that, so today, what you and I are going to be talking about is the negativity that somehow has already arisen.
Yeah, or maybe the better way to say it is, we're going to be talking, we have a new pope, now what? You know, like a little bit more of that than, I don't want to focus totally on the negative, but I think, you know, if you've been following any social media things, I'm sure you've seen in your feed already negative stuff about him or already commentary from people. And you're like, take a breath, man, take a breath.
Well, even thinking about, like, can we dissect how the pope is announced? We say Habemus Papam, which means, it's Latin, it translates to what?
We have a father.
We have a father. It's not we have a pope.
Yeah.
We have a father.
Yeah.
And so I think we all need to take a step back. And each of us, hopefully at some point in our adult years, have reflected on our own upbringing and our own parents and come to realize that these superheroes we thought they were when we were children are actually human beings who are doing mm-hmm. the best with what they have. And sometimes they're limited and sometimes they have flaws. And so too is our father in the church.
Sure.
That he needs a lot of our prayers. It's really the only thing we can control. So I always find it funny when everyone's like treating this like a some type of political election. Or as if somehow, like, our opinions on what he says and how he operates, like, matter.
Sure.
And that really the only thing in our control in this situation is our prayers for him.
Mm-hmm.
And in our language, right? Like, how we speak of him and how we treat him. But maybe one of those things I think that would be really helpful would be, like, if I actually saw him as a father,
mm-hmm.
as my own father, like, mm-hmm. my biological father, can I see the Pope as my spiritual father, the head of this massive family with a big weight on his shoulders? How would I speak of him? How would I treat him? How would I pray for him?
Mm-hmm. I know. I just, I kept watching at him. So I'm an empathetic crier. So I don't cry on my own very often, but if other people are crying, I like tear up. Because I'm just like really attuned to these things. Anyway, so I'm like watching him on the balcony. And if you really watch those videos, like he is trying to hold it back, right? Like he is near tears. He's doing like the classic man thing where he's like swallowing a lot and like clearly kind of like clenching his jaw a little bit. Because he's so overwhelmed. And you can imagine so overwhelmed by the reception, partly, I'm sure, that he got in St. Peter's Square, where people were just cheering and so happy, having no idea who the heck he was, half of them. But also the weight that is now on his shoulders, right? That he is called to shepherd the world, the 6 billion Catholics throughout the world, but then also, like, to be a voice in the world. And, like, what? And, like, clearly he was deeply moved by that. You know, and I think we need to remember that and support him in that way. Like, what a task. That's what I just kept thinking as I was watching him on the balcony. Like, what a burden to take on. Oh. And you don't, unlike the president, for instance, you're not running for this office. You know, you're not like, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to be Pope one day. And in fact, if you are saying that, you probably shouldn't be Pope anyway. But like, suddenly you're just the Pope. That's it. And
yeah.
Your entire life is different, right? He's probably not going back to Peru. He's not going to pack his bags.
Can you imagine?
Pack his bags for him. He doesn't even need what is left in Peru, like, or wherever he's been living lately, right? Like, his life, it's like night and day. Suddenly, it is 100% different.
Sometimes I like to imagine, like, what that scene looked like. Like, could you imagine if you're Robert sitting there and they're reading the names out loud. And it's like, Robert, Robert, Robert. And he's like, oh no, oh no.
This say, is not going to work.
Say another name. And he's like counting on his fingers, like, oh, that's 2/3. I'm screwed. Like,
you know, I mean, he must have known. I would assume you know, right? Because you're probably the first vote, he had a couple. The second vote, he had a few more. By the third or fourth, he was probably like, this might be going in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, but still, even I think, you know, you read his speech or you listen to his speech, if you understand Italian, from the balcony. I mean, he had like 2.2 seconds to put that together.
Mm.
And it's not like he pre-wrote that. It's not like he's like, well, if I become Pope, here's what I'm like. He had to put it together last minute on top of choosing his name, on top of getting fitted for vestments, right? Like, and being greeted by all the cardinals. And it's deep and profound. Like, his words were so powerful in such a short amount of time that I was like, wow, right?
I guess I haven't read them. Mm. I haven't, like, followed too much. I mean, I've heard snippets, but I know that he started with, he said, peace be with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just sweet.
I think, you know, and a lot is said about popes, the first words that come out of their mouths, right? JP2,
is it? Said,
you know, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, the first words are a big deal, right? So JP2 was be not afraid.
Oh.
And, like, that was very much the kind of mini mantra, I would say, for his papacy, be not afraid, right? And here he is, and he was, I'm sure, petrified because he was like the youngest guy ever, not technically, but you know, in years. And so him saying peace be with you was a very clear statement of where he wants to take the church, of what he believes is really important. And I was thinking too, like, just also the cultural context of the time. How many people in our world today live without inner peace? Live with so much anxiety, live with so much stress, live in these worlds in which they don't have peace. And also how much also peace, like war and peace, that there's a lot of places in war and, you know, that kind of a thing. So yeah, his first words make a big, like, it's a big deal. So
yeah, I'm ChatGPTing what all their first words were.
Oh, I love it.
I'm just curious, but yeah, I mean, I think that it's like an interesting, yeah, I mean, we could read it all, but I think it is interesting what is on their hearts, like what stirs them. Because I think that tells us probably a lot about them in a natural and organic state, right? Because he doesn't have time to prepare thoroughly. It's not like he's writing an encyclical where he gets to spend months poring over research and words and semantics. It's like when someone's pressured to speak, you get a really good sense of who they are naturally because it's got to flow from
totally. Them. And I think, you know, so this is, I think one of the important things we want to keep in mind with this that kind of goes together with all of this is, like, before you go and listen to somebody who's negative or positive, honestly, before you go and listen to all these, like, well, he did this, or well, he's friends with so-and-so, or well, he didn't do this, or well, he referenced Francis in his speech, right? Or whatever it is, why don't we give the man a chance to be Pope? And so let him, like, speak for himself, right? And I think, like, and I think this is so important, especially, we talked about this a little bit, I think, in some of our previous episodes, but, like, actually read the words that he says. You know, you can now find the words of his first homily. So what happens is, and I didn't realize this, but after the Pope is named, you know, whatever, he goes to sleep, the next morning he says Mass, I believe it's in the Sistine Chapel, for all the cardinals, or with all the cardinals, probably. And so he gives his first homily as Pope, right? And the words of it are already translated and already up on the internet to read. And they're beautiful. And they're definitely worth taking to our prayer and considering. And you can tell he takes this job very seriously, this burden that's been placed on him. And in fact, he says in it, wait, I want to go and read a part of it. Because he does the very beginning part of it, he did in English, actually. And then he switched to Italian and did the rest in Italian. But he said to his brother cardinals, he said, oh, I love this. My brother cardinals, as we celebrate this morning, I invite you to recognize the marvels that God has done, the blessings that the Lord continues to pour out on all of us through the ministry of Peter. And then he goes on and says,
You have called me to carry that cross and to be blessed with that mission. And I know I can rely on each and every one of you to walk with me as we continue as a church, as a community of friends of Jesus, as believers to announce the good news, to announce the gospel. And I was thinking, like, this is like, yes, he's talking to his fellow bishops, cardinals, that he needs their prayers and support, but like so much more so even from us, right? He needs our prayers as this successor of Peter, right? He needs that. And we need to do him the service of kind of withholding judgment, I think, a little bit until there's something to look at, there's something to consider, etc.
Well, and even judgment.
Yeah, that might not be the right word, honestly.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all judge. It's a natural part of being human. But I think judgment without like love and care and concern or without prayer, like, it's kind of useless, especially in this situation, because again, you're not going to control anything. You have no control over what he does. He's not being dethroned or whatever that is because you tweeted. Nobody, I'm sorry. You're not that important. You're not. None of us are. So, but our prayers are important. And so we should be, if you don't like who was elected, you should be praying profusely for him to be guided well. And also let go and trust the Holy Spirit. Like, trust that when Christ promised that nothing would overtake or overcome his church, his bride, trust that.
Right.
Okay.
And I think, see, that's what I think so many people are missing when they're already being like negative or they're already looking for things to be upset by, is that you're missing the bigger picture. Christ already won. And we're guaranteed that the church will withstand time. Done. Period. End of story. Right? So all of this like nuance and worry and like, what if he changes this? What if he changes that? Listen, he's not going to change the structure, the dogma, the Christ. He can't change Christ. So ultimately, right? Like he's not going to do that. Like maybe you're not going to like exactly how he says something. But that doesn't mean he's changing who Christ is and who the church is.
Yeah. And I think we always want to be also looking for positive things, right? Mm-hmm. No one is all good. No one is all bad. And it's easy to focus on the negative. As humans, we're kind of wired to do that. So it is a labor of love to look for the positive. And as I'm like reading through his initial speech, the theme that I hear from his initial speech and from the homily, Kate, that you just read, he's very seemingly focused on unity and peace. Like he uses like language that's like together and us and community and united. And I think that that's profound. I think that that's really beautiful. And in a time where the world is so polarized. I mean, I like, let's just speak to America because this is where we're from. This is what we know. Politically, socially, religiously, we're a very divided country at this point. Mm-hmm. We've talked in the past that something like 2/3 of Democrats wouldn't date a Republican and 1/3 of Republicans wouldn't date a Democrat. Like, we're so divisive. So I think that, you know, if he is speaking a lot about peace and unity, there's something in that that at least in America is so needed right now.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe in some part trusting this process and recognizing that he may not have everything and he may not be the most eloquent or he may have some confusing or difficult opinions on certain topics that you don't agree with. But there is also really good and beautiful things that he's going to bring to the table that the world needs, that the church needs.
Right. Yeah. And I think I always, you know, these kinds of things too, because I think, you know, some people are like, well, like, it's right to criticize the Pope because, like, he's our father and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Let's talk about St. Catherine of Siena, right, who brought the Pope back from the Avignon papacy. Okay, if there was ever a time to be like, yo, Pope, you ain't doing it right, it was probably the Avignon papacy where he was like, I'm not staying in Italy, I'm French, I want to live in France, and I'm going to like just elect all my French buddies and like whatever, right? So St. Catherine wrote so many letters to him, right? So many letters asking him to come back. He finally comes back.
But if you read these letters that she wrote, she is not like, Roman Pontiff, you're in the wrong here. Like she's not. She literally, in her letters to him and to others, calls him the sweet Christ on earth. Like, clearly she loved him and loved the office, right, of Pope so much that she was like, I'm going to write this and I'm going to be like, no, like, this is not good, but I'm going to do it because I love you so much. And I think that's also one of the things that we're seeing now with some of this polarization is it's like, I don't love you. I don't love this choice. I would have picked someone else, like whatever. And therefore, I'm going to criticize, as opposed to, I really love this person and I really love the church and I really love this office. And I want to do everything I can to make sure that this person lives the holiest, best life they can to lead the church in the best way he can. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's part of St. Catherine's legacy. And I think many people just think of her as like the fiery woman who brought back the Pope, but like, yeah, but well, she called him
that, yeah, it's not that you can't be fiery, and it's not that you can't have opinions, and it's not that the church or the Pope is without criticism, because I do think that, look, the church is ours.
Yeah.
It is ours. And so,
as well as divine.
Right. And so there are things that we need to talk about that we need to criticize, because I think in that conversation, in that dialogue, in that criticism, we find paths forward through dark times, right? Like, the church is not above criticism. Mm. Bishops, popes, cardinals, they're not above criticism. But what Catherine of Siena did was that criticism came from a place of love. Like, if we were going to sit here, like, we can criticize all of these people for the abuses and atrocities that have happened, right?
Yeah.
And they should be criticized. And we should criticize how it was handled so that we correct and fix and heal because we love the church, because we love our priests, because we love our people, especially those who were wounded by all of these things.
Yeah.
But it has to come from a place of love. Otherwise, we sow more division and more issues. Yeah. And we're not actually healing or uniting if we're not coming from a place of love.
Mm-hmm. I saw this great interview, and I actually don't know who the priest was who was being interviewed, but he was being interviewed by one of the secular media women, you know, all the things. And so she has been, I've seen multiple interviews with her. She's really pushing for women priests, etc. Right. She's not Catholic, but anyway. And so she asked this priest, and this was before Pope Leo was elected. And she said, so it seems like we're at this point where it's either a decision to, you know, like, pave a new path, like, charge forward in a different way, or, like, keep the tradition. So where do you think they're going to go in this conclave? And the priest said, I refuse to accept that there are those two options. He said, listen, it's both and. And she's like, no, but, like, no, because either we're moving forward into the future and we're going to, like, modernize things, or we're staying stuck in the past of the way the church was. And he was like, yes. Because the church was founded by Christ 2,000 years ago, and that's not changing. And so the dogma, the faith, that kind of thing, that's never changing. But do we need to figure out how to bring that into 2025? Do we need to figure out how to talk to people today in the society today? Yes. And he's like, so it's both. It's both. How do we keep our core, and how do we evolve? Not evolve, but how do we bring that to the world today? And I was like, yes.
Well, and this is, and I'm going to read this, because this is what Pope Leo said as he greeted the world. That was his exact sentiment. So let me read. Therefore, without fear, united hand in hand with God and with one another, let us go forward. We are disciples of Christ. Christ goes before us. The world needs his light. Humanity needs him as the bridge to be reached by God and his love. Help us all, well, help one another to build bridges through dialogue, through encounter, uniting everyone to be one single people, always in peace. Right. Like, this is what we need. This is what the world needs. We cannot run away and hide. And I think this is something beautiful about this singleness that Katie, you and I both share, is that we have the availability to encounter people and to build those bridges. And we have the time to engage in like dialogue and resources that a married person doesn't. Why? Because their primary education is towards their children, if they have them. Our primary education is the world. And so I think in some ways, maybe the question is, how can I, in my singleness, with what my singleness affords to me, kind of live this message that the Pope is talking about, which is like, he literally said, go forth. The world needs the light of Christ. And if we are good Christians, we will be witnesses to that. So we have to be in the world. We have to be encountering people. Right. And we can't just run away and hide in our little Catholic bubbles and say like, this is where I feel safe. Like, beautiful. Right. Be there, feel safe, recharge, go forth. Hand in hand with God.
Right. And I think too, it's really important to remember that the Pope, whoever he is, right, is not in and of himself the Catholic Church. You are the Catholic Church. I am the Catholic Church. The Pope is the Catholic Church. The, I don't know, divorcee who's still trying to go to Mass on Sundays and try and figure that out is the Catholic Church, right? And so we need to figure out, like, how do we own that? And how do we bring the light of Christ to the world as we're being called to do, right, every day, and not be like, well, it's just the Pope.
You are like hitting every talking point, because Leo goes on to say, I am a son of Saint Augustine, an Augustinian who said, with you, I am Christian. For you, I am a bishop.
Exactly.
Like he is as Catholic as the rest of us, trying to do the best just like the rest of us, and has been given a little bit of a higher order to lead us. But he's Christian with us. He's our brother and our father simultaneously.
And yeah. And I was thinking, let's also keep in mind, pick any of the great saints, almost any. I mean, St. Catherine of Siena, like, I don't think she ever sinned practically, but pick Augustine. No. Okay. I mean, obviously she did. We know she did. Pick Augustine. Pick Peter, the one Jesus was like, you're going to be the Pope. You're going to lead this church. I'm sorry. Did you see how flawed he was? At the moment in which he had to stand up for Christ, he was like, nah, I don't know that dude. Like, he ain't mine, friend.
Christ literally looked at him.
Exactly. So what? I think,
what an offense. Like,
and sometimes we look at these big saints like Peter and we're like, well, Peter, but he was like so perfect and he was like the Pope and like all that stuff. Like, yeah, and he and Paul had to have it out, and Paul had to give him a fraternal correction, because Paul was like, you ain't doing this right. Right? Like, I'm going to point this out to you. Well, and I also
I mean, all of them, right? I was just talking to a friend about, I think they had gone to church. They don't really go to church much, or like, well, they're not even Catholic, but they were like, why wasn't Francis talked about in the homily? Like, because he had just died. And I said, well, because it's Divine Mercy Sunday and there are more pressing things to teach the people than to give the Pope a eulogy.
Right.
And it's not that we don't love the Pope, but it's that the church lives on.
Right.
The church lives on, and the flock needs to be fed. And so, and there's this beautiful thing, and it's Divine Mercy Sunday. And then I was like, oh, but also like the gospel this Sunday is Doubting Thomas. And I think that there's this beautiful parallel here with Doubting Thomas and Divine Mercy. Yep. And that Thomas, like the rest of us, was like, I refuse to believe.
Right.
There is no way. And in part, I heard this really interesting homily one time that in part, maybe Thomas had a trauma response, right? Maybe this was, I cannot, don't play with me. Well, like, I just watched my best friend be murdered and you're telling me he's back? Screw you. Like, well, I can't handle it. You can imagine too,
a little stress over the fact that he like wasn't there by his side. And then he's like, wait, but he really is back? Like, dang, like even more trauma, right?
It's like, kind of like, I can't believe this. And
I wasn't there.
And what then. I think is so beautiful about the whole Thomas story is that he saw and knew everything more than the rest of us. Let's be clear here. He got to walk with Christ, okay? He knew and
saw the miracles.
And he still could not believe. That felt incomprehensible to him. Even though he saw Christ raise people from the dead, he knew this was possible with his own eyes. And Christ doesn't admonish him. He doesn't. He says, you can't believe. What do you need? And I will give it to you. He responds, like, God responds and corresponds with our needs and with our humanity and with our messiness. And in these low moments, in these moments of doubt or shame or sin, he doesn't punish us. He understands and he accepts our humanity and he says, what do you need? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need to put your hand on my side? Come here, come do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you what you need. And it's okay that you're confused. It's okay that you're doubting.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, all of that, I think, is so important to, for us to remember the humanness of all of them, the, especially when we look at the new pope or we look at our bishops or our cardinals and we're like, oh my gosh, but they're sinning. Yeah, because they're normal guys who play Wordle sometimes, like, they, you know, and like also have to go to confession like we do and also are struggling and hopefully are also really, really trying to be saints, right? And are really holy, but that doesn't mean they're not flawed.
And in the words of Saint Jose Maria, a saint is a sinner who keeps trying.
Exactly.
The aim is not perfection. The aim is effort. We are all flawed. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. We're going to be in these messy situations where we're like, I don't know. Look, in 2025, it's the Wild West out there. Everyone, like, we're all trying to date. Half of the single people listening to this are trying to date. We're trying to encounter friends and people are so far from Christ that those friendships, those relationships, these things are going to be messy and we have to be willing to be messy with them and to be, you know, flexible with those situations in order to encounter them, in order to build bridges. And I think if we're so afraid of sinning or falling or failing or falling short or being messy, we're never going to be brave enough to try. And so how many people are we not encountering when we sit the sideline because we're too afraid of, you know, could you imagine if the apostles did that? Like, they're too afraid to fail, so they don't go out. Or, you know, they were too afraid to be messy or to sin, so they just, it's like, what's going on here? You have to go forth and try, realize you failed. We've been given confession for this exact reason. Try again. He knew. Christ knew we were going to continue to fail and to fall into sin. And that's a part of our humanity. We're not going to escape that.
Right.
So what I think is really important in this takeaway, as I'm trying to connect that we're talking about the Pope and these things, is that we want to be really, really careful to not be Pharisees and to sit here and say, shame on him. Right. Because what did Christ do? He drew a line in the sand. He wrote their sins out and said, who is without sin, cast the first stone, right? That it's not our job to be condemning. Criticism and condemning are two different things. So we can critique as long as we're also praying and mortifying and fasting and loving, right? So we want to be really careful about how we're showing up and kind of recognizing our own humanity, the humanity of the Pope, always coming across with a Christ-like love. And to be a Christ-like love, to be the light of Christ that the Pope is calling us to be, to make those bridges, to encounter people, is going to be messy. And we have to be willing to be messy.
Yeah, I was really struck by the end of his speech in which he basically was like, gave everything to Our Lady. And then the whole crowd said the Hail Mary. And I was like, okay, I like this, right? Like, we want, like, yeah, Mary, Mother of Fairest Love, Mary, like, Undoer of Knots, whoever you want to go to, right? Like, this is what we want. We want to, I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think if you look at some of the holiest people to ever exist, maybe in your own life, but also if you look at the saints, they are people who loved Our Lady, like, desperately, desperately loved Our Lady, right? We had a parish priest when we were little, which, Monica, you probably don't remember him, Father Richard. I think it was past your time at that point.
Well, no.
But he was very holy. He was a very good man. He was very holy. But he loved Our Lady so much, like, so much. And it was so clear. And it's funny because, like, I don't remember much of my childhood. We always laugh about this. But, like, I clearly remember how much he loved her, which is very, like, it's very interesting and very fun. But our conversation too was also making me think, if you have not read St. Jose Maria's homily In Love with the Church, I highly recommend. You can find it everywhere. You can find it online for free. But he basically talks about this idea of, like, not abandoning the Pope, loving him so much, not abandoning the Church. And it ends with, he ends with this line that says, no matter what happens, Christ will not abandon his spouse. The Church triumphant is already with him at the right hand of the Father. And our Christian brothers beckon us to join them there, they who glorify God with this reality, which we still see in the clear shadow of faith, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. you know? And I'm like, that's it, right? Like, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And we just, you know, a new pope was elected to that, to the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. And we need to love him a lot and care for him a lot, like we care for a father who is heavily burdened, right? And obviously, the children can't do as much because we're children, but we can do a lot with our prayer, with our mortification, and with the way that we choose to talk about him.
And I think that's probably a good takeaway for this week of, like, how can I, with what is in my control, support and love the church and the Pope?
Yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Ooh. That's it for this week on Single, Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you. And this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.